Hello and welcome to Joy-Con Cast, episode 23. I'm your host Nicholas, and this week I'm finally talking Pokemon Sword and Pokemon Shield. I know this is late. I was supposed to do this episode last week, but due to scheduling issues, I was not able to record it last week. So we're a week late. I'm well aware, but at least I'm doing it now, and I've had an extra week to play the game. I've had an extra week to dive into the game and see all that it has to offer. At this point, I'm recording this a little earlier in the week than I usually do, but at this point, I have a little over 70 hours in the game, and I've been playing it a lot. I've been playing Pokemon Sword a lot, and I want to talk about that, and technically Shield as well, and I have to say, I went into these games eager and excited and open, and I've been thoroughly enjoying these games. I really have. Now, I know there were a ton of controversies surrounding the games, a lot of issues people were having, and my philosophy was this: Pokemon is fun, and Pokemon will always be fun, and I think Pokemon Sword and Shield prove that idea. These games are still very, very fun, and they feel like Pokemon games. Now, I've done quite a bit that the game has to offer. I have completed the story. I'm slowly working on the Pokédex. I'm about halfway there. I'm a little over halfway there, actually. I haven't been spending too much time on the Pokédex as of late, but I'm about halfway done to completing the Pokédex. I've done some breeding. I've done some EV training. I've done a lot of surprise trades. I've done a lot of the raid battles. I want to talk about those later on. Just, I've kind of done everything that the game really has to explore for the players. And honestly, I haven't had this much fun with a Pokemon game since X and Y, to be honest. I really haven't. This feels like X and Y all over again to me. Everything to follow X and Y, I think, did something to kind of break the mold of the Pokemon games, or it did something slightly different, or it changed something that I really liked from the previous game. And yeah, there's a lot of differences in this game, but a lot of welcome ones, and it feels like a fresh new game. Just like X and Y was the first 3DS Pokemon game, Sword and Shield are the first Switch Pokemon games, at least in the main series. And I can feel that. I can feel that energy. I can feel that fun throughout the games. And all in all, are there issues with the game? Yes, and I'll talk about those. I'll talk about some of my gripes with the games. But if you've played any of the previous Pokemon games, you're bound to enjoy this game. As far as, I'll talk about Dexit real quick. If you go into Pokemon Sword and Shield and you play through the game, and you have a good time, and you find about Dexit at the end of the game, you know, the removal of the national Dex, it is not in any way, shape, or form going to harm your experience with the game, or change it, or alter it, because most people are going to use the new Pokemon anyway. Most people are going to want to use the new Pokemon in the games, and aren't going to worry about transferring old Pokemon from X and Y, or Diamond and Pearl, or whatever the case may be. Most people want to use the new Pokemon. And I understand for post-game, yeah, some people might want to transfer over their old starters or whatever the case may be. But I understand that problems like Dexit don't arise because Game Freak is lazy. It's because Pokemon is an annual game release. You have to understand, Pokemon Let's Go Pikachu and Eevee released about a year ago. There was about a year between the release of Pokemon Let's Go and Sword and Shield. Now, I don't know how Game Freak develops their games. I don't know if they have multiple teams working on multiple projects. I don't know if they only work on one Pokemon game at a time. I'm really not too sure. I'm not a game developer myself. I don't know the inside business. I'm not too sure. But a year between big game releases is not a lot of time. It really is not. And I know a lot of people have been comparing Breath of the Wild to Pokemon, and Breath of the Wild did this, and Breath of the Wild did that. Breath of the Wild was in development for like 4+ years with a very large team working on it. You know, Breath of the Wild didn't have an anime to tie in with it. Breath of the Wild didn't have trading card games or merch or movies or whatever else to tie in with it. Pokemon has to release every year because the Pokemon company needs it to, because there's also the TV shows and the movies and, like I said, merchandise, trading card games, the plushies. There's so much more that ties into Pokemon, especially now with Pokemon Go. I'm sure that, you know, Pokemon Go, that gets Sword and Shield tie-ins. We saw Galar Weezing was in Pokemon Go. I'm sure that plays some role in, you know, the yearly release of Pokemon. But yeah, these games are released every year, and they have been for quite a while. And that, I'm sure, puts a dent in the production time and puts a dent in the plans that Game Freak have. And yeah, I'm positive that Game Freak didn't want to cut the national decks. They didn't want to cut half the Pokemon from the game. But when you only have so much time to work on these games and release them, especially for the Switch, a brand new hardware for them, I mean, it's understandable some of the cuts that they have to make. You know, they had to cut some corners. They had to make some decisions that consumers aren't going to like. But at the end of the day, Game Freak is just a middleman here, and them getting all the blame isn't necessarily fair. Now, I would love if Pokemon was released every other year. I think that would be great. It would give us extra time to spend on the current game. You know, we'd get an extra year to play Sword and Shield, for example, if 2020 didn't have a Pokemon game. And we would know that the next Pokemon game we get is going to be of high quality. I wouldn't even be mad at that. But, like other video game publishers or developers, Pokemon is forced to become an annual release. And it's not a big deal with me. I think releasing them every November, especially for me, has been kind of like a holiday. It feels like Pokemon time around mid-November now, whenever there's a new Pokemon game. And I think when the game's released, it's the perfect time to sit and play some Pokemon. But I understand the frustrations that consumers, especially the Pokemon community, have when they see some of the cuts being made and stuff like that. So I will say this, as far as Dexit goes, which people unironically call it, the removal of the national Dex, it's not a big deal. It really isn't. There's still 400 Pokemon to catch, to breed with, to EV train, to shiny hunt, to battle with. That's a lot of Pokemon. That's still a lot of Pokemon. And most people are not going to use all 800 plus Pokemon in a Pokemon game. They're not going to shiny hunt each and every single Pokemon. I know some people do if they're, you know, some of the shiny hunters do. But 400 Pokemon is still a lot. And it's something that we see in other shooter games or fighting games. Some guns or characters just need to be removed to make way for new game or for new characters or new monsters or new weapons or whatever. And Pokemon is following that. And I don't think there's a huge issue with that. I do hope that it's something that Game Freak addresses moving forward in a better way. And, you know, especially with Pokemon, I think it was Pokemon Home, the app that they announced that you can transfer all of your Pokemon to, kind of like the Pokemon Bank on 3DS. I do hope we get to use that as not just a final destination for Pokemon, but as a way to send out Pokemon to other games. So hopefully it comes back. Hopefully we're able to get the national Dex in future Pokemon games. But I think for now, Game Freak was just trying to pump these games out. It's on new hardware. It's, you know, they made a lot of other changes with the game, added some new modes, changed around the way that gym leaders work. Maybe they'll get extra time around next year's game to flesh out the decks a little bit more. I don't know, but as far as playing through the game, having the national decks gone, is not an issue, and I don't think it needs to be addressed any further anywhere because it's really not a problem. So from here on forward, I'm not talking about it. It doesn't affect the gameplay whatsoever, and the game is still super, super fun. So with that said, let's talk about some other issues real quick that I want to address. Graphical issues or technical issues, I think the game looks fine. I really do. I can understand there are some areas where, yeah, that tree doesn't look very good, but most of the trees do. In, you know, if you're running around through the routes or the different cities, the nature looks good, and it looks like any other Pokemon game would. As far as the graphics go, I think it looks good. I think it looks great, to be honest with you. I really do. I think it looks fine. Like, I think it looks good. I know some people have said that it looks like a 3DS game ported over to Switch. Yeah, maybe. A little bit. I think it's just that Pokemon has that art style that 3DS has had for so long. I don't think it necessarily looks bad, but I can understand where people are coming from. As far as technical issues, the only area and the only time I notice frame drops, it's in the wild area. The wild area is awful when it comes to frame drops. And I will be honest, it is pretty bad in the wild area. I'll go and click on the sparkling item. I'll pick up an item and my game freezes for like 3 seconds before my character picks it up. Or, you know, I'll fly into the wild area and start biking and you can see the frames drop and it is pretty noticeable. Other than in the wild area, the rest of the game is fine. The rest of the game looks and performs great, but I do have to be honest, the wild area is a little bad. I wouldn't say it's bad. It's just noticeable. I mean, it is an open area in the game. You do have Pokemon actually running around. You have other people on the screen. You have things popping in and out. It's understandable, but at the same time, it is kind of annoying. But it is what it is. That's the only area that I really notice. And it's really not that bad, I guess. If you're just biking around, yeah, some frames drop and things pop in and out, but nothing to make you want to quit the game, in all honesty. Nothing to make you want to quit the game. Moving on, that's pretty much it for, like, as far as the game looks and runs, it's fine. I mean, I'm sure you can go on Digital Foundry, and I'm sure they did a full recap and breakdown of the game, but for the average player, it's going to look and run fine, and that's that. One thing that I'm loving about these games, Game Freak added a ton of quality of life improvements to the game overall. There's a lot here that I hope Game Freak continues to add or even improve upon in future Pokemon games, because there's a lot here that just makes playing the game easier and not easier in the way that the game isn't hard, but easier in the way that things are more convenient. So first off, you can now view your Pokemon boxes from the Pokemon menu where you would normally view your team. So if you click X, you go into Pokemon. You can see your 6 team members right there. But if you click R, you can actually go to your Pokemon PC box, essentially. And it is fantastic. It is great. It is the best thing ever. Now, this was implemented in Pokemon Let's Go. It was a little different in Pokemon Let's Go. That was done through your bag. This is done through the Pokemon menu, and you actually go to your PC box. Whereas in Pokemon Let's Go, I believe you go into, you essentially have all of your Pokemon in a bag, essentially. And I don't think there's any way to really, like, organize them or view them in different boxes. It was just a big list of Pokemon. This is actually your PC box. So you have all of your boxes. You can check their stats right there. You can check what items they're holding. You can search for specific Pokemon, held items, types, all that good stuff. And it's so fleshed out and it works so well. I love it. Now, you cannot place a injured Pokemon or a fainted Pokemon in the PC box to heal them. Normally you can in your PC box if you go to a Pokemon Center, but if you do it through the Pokemon menu, you can't do it this way. So basically, you know, if you're in the middle of the wild area, your Grookey faints, you can't just open up the Pokemon box from your Pokemon menu, plop it in the PC, have it heal up like it normally would in Pokemon centers. That does not work, which is understandable. However, there are a lot of trainers around the Galar region that will just heal up your Pokemon. That's another thing, another quality of life improvement. They'll just heal up your Pokemon for you, and I love it. I think very rarely did I actually have to fly back or run back to the Pokemon Center to heal up, because there were trainers on every route that would just heal up your Pokemon for you. And it was great. I loved it. I loved it. It's one of those things that, like I said, it's just a quality of life improvement. There's really no need to have to fly back to the Pokemon Center. I mean, if you're going to heal up, just let that trainer do it for you and then move on. You're saving yourself the time. Move on with your game. It's great. It really is great, and I love it. And it's not, I guess to some people, they think it makes the game easier. I guess I understand that, but if you're already going to heal up your Pokemon, what difference does it make? Either way, that's another great feature that's added to the game, is just trainers that will heal up your Pokemon for you. I like it a lot. I think it saves time, and it makes sense. It makes sense that there are trainers that will just heal up your Pokemon for you around the routes. I think it makes sense, and I like it. But back to the Pokemon boxes. Another thing you can do, straight from the Pokemon PC box or the Pokemon box through the Pokemon menu, you can now view your Pokemon's IVs directly from your PC box. This is incredible. This is the best thing ever. You can view your IVs straight from the Pokemon box. Now, in past Pokemon games, you would have to discover the IV trainer or the IV expert or whatever. I don't think it was actually called that, but you would discover a character, and in past games you would have to fly to a specific city, walk into a specific building, go to the third floor, talk to that very specific character in the back room, and they would kind of give you a hint as to what your IVs were. And it was very stupid, it was very lame, it was very inconvenient, and you could only do up to 6 Pokemon at a time, because you could only carry those 6 Pokemon with you. Well, now in these games, after you beat the main story, if you go to the Battle Tower, after I believe 5 matches, you'll unlock the ability to check your IVs, and you can do it straight from the Pokemon box. So if you click the plus, you can view your Pokemon stats. That'll show you their base stats, their Dynamax level, ability, held item, and move list. And if you click view, or if you click judge, you can view your IVs right there. And it's actually pretty easy the way that you read IVs. It'll tell you whether it's decent, very good, best, fantastic, and you'll essentially get okay stats, good stats, great stats, or amazing stats. I've yet to get a 6 IV Pokemon, so I don't know if it says best stats if it's 6 IVs, but I have quite a few 4 to 5 IV Pokemon from surprise trades, and a lot of them just say amazing stats. So it's very easy to tell what your Pokemon's IVs are. Easier now more than ever. And if you wanted to get into competitive battling, which I'm definitely doing, I've not done since Omega Ruby Alpha Sapphire, I'm getting back into competitive with Sword and Shield. I'm working on bringing up a team right now. It's easier now more than ever to check your Pokemon's IVs, even EVs. I'll talk about EV training in a minute here. But it's easy to go onto your Pokemon box, judge your Pokemon, and see what Pokemon have what IVs. It's so easy. It's so simple, and I love it. And having that ability right in your PC box, it's incredible. It's so convenient. It's so convenient. And the fact that you can do it, again, from anywhere, you don't have to even go to a Pokemon Center. It's so, so nice. Speaking of competitive battling, if you want to get into competitive battling, EV training is very, 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 very important. Not so much if you're just breezing through the game, but if you do want to take on the Battle Tower in the game and competitive and battle either in VGC or just competitive singles or doubles. EV training is very important. I'm not going to sit here and just, you know, explain the whole idea of competitive battling, but I'm just trying to give you a hint, that, or kind of give off the idea that it's so much easier in these games. It is so much easier in these games. I remember it being a chore in past games, and I actually haven't done EV training since, like, X and Y, because I used to Pokégen a lot of my Pokémon for competitive, and getting back into, like, breeding for IVs and EV training, let me tell you, it's pretty easy. It's pretty easy in these games, so I'm definitely getting back into competitive. I've actually already EV trained two Pokémon, and one of them is a shiny, too. I already did get my very first shiny. I Masuda method for a shiny Galar Ponyta. And I got in like 30-some eggs. It was actually very quick. And I don't have the shiny stone either, because I haven't completed my decks just yet. But the IVs were meh. They were okay. I think they were great. I think they were good, to be honest with you. I don't even think they were great. But I EV trained it. And all's well. It looks pretty cool. But either way, IVs and EVs, it's so much easier to track. It's so much easier to kind of get into that, you know, sense of checking your Pokemon stance for competitive. It's easier now more than ever. And I think that's fantastic. I think it should be. I think it should be easy. There's no point in making that something that's, you know, discouraging for new players. Make it easy to understand. Get them into competitive. It's a lot of fun. Moving on. As far as, like, the story goes, as always, Pokemon stories are kind of meh. They're kind of meh. I thought this one was actually pretty cool. I have to say, I really liked the characters in this game, too. I did not like Sun and Moon. I'm going to be honest. After playing this game and really thinking about it, it's not that I hated Sun and Moon. I didn't care for it as much. I didn't like many of the characters. I thought the way that they did gym leaders was forgettable, maybe? I don't know if that's the right word, but I didn't really care for it. In this game, overall, not just story, but overall, I really like these games more. And I actually like the characters more. I thought Sanya was really, really cool. I really liked Hop. Much more than most rivals in the game. I actually really, really, really liked Hop. I thought that he actually had some decent, like, character development. If you blast through these games and you don't pay attention to the characters or the dialogue or anything like that, yeah, you're going to miss a lot of important elements of the game. But I think Hop, actually paying attention to his dialogue and his story and his struggles, I really liked it. And I thought he was actually a decent rival who changed up his team. I don't want to spoil too much. The game's been out for a while. Most of you have probably been in the game by now, but whenever he loses a battle, you can tell that it matters to him. You can tell he feels defeated and wants to grow stronger. And I really liked his character development. I really did. And he didn't come off as annoying. He did for, like, a little while. I don't know why, but, like, the first, I don't even know, maybe 3 or 4 battles with Hop, he kept mentioning type advantages. I don't know if anyone else noticed this. He would keep mentioning type advantages. I don't know what that ended up playing in maybe the final battle, but he kept mentioning, like, how I knew my team or my type advantages. It was kind of weird and kind of annoying, but either way, no, he was a really great rival. I think his character development was cool. Most of the other characters I really liked as well. The gym leaders I really liked in this game. I thought they were all pretty awesome, if I have to be honest. I really, really liked them. And overall, the story was, as most Pokemon stories, it was meh. But the characters, the locations, the Pokemon, I really did like the game. And I think it was a very fun game. It did take me about 24 hours to complete. And it's funny, because I breezed through these games. Or I guess this game. I only played Sword. But I breezed through Pokemon Sword. But the trainer, Leon, actually gave me some trouble. Like, I don't know why, but he actually did give me quite some trouble. Like, I had to actually go back and I had to battle him a couple times because he was beating me. It was crazy. I ended up dropping Stealth Rocks, like, turn one. I think I used my Colossal and dropped Stealth Rocks, and that helped a lot for his Charizard and most of his other Pokemon just switching in. Did some chip damage, but knocking out that Charizard to have health did help a lot. But yeah, his battle actually was pretty difficult. And it's weird because I did not have anything to counter most of his Pokemon. Like, I breezed through the game with my team, and I did not have anything for his Pokemon. It was kind of sad. It was sad. I was breezing through the game. I was ready to just knock out the game and, you know, start doing some post-game stuff. And Leon, he gave me the work. He most definitely did. But other than that, yeah, most of the game was pretty simple. It was pretty straightforward. I did not like Team Yell. The evil team in this game, I think, first off, Team Yell is kind of a stupid name. I think the characters were pretty lazy, how they were written and designed, and it reminds me of, I forgot what the team name was. It reminds me of the team from Sun and Moon. What were those guys called? Team Skull, I think it was. They kind of reminded me of that, but they were just like, have you ever seen the meme where it's like, hey, can I copy your homework? Yeah, but just don't make it obvious you copied. It's kind of like that. Like, it feels like Team Yell really copied Team Skull, and it's just obvious that they're kind of one and the same. I really didn't care for the team at all. However, I think it did carry a really important message. You know, I think Team Yell is kind of representing the Pokemon community and how we try to, like, I don't know, how we yell and scream at the game devs and we try to, like, fanboy these games, and it does no good for nobody. I think it was kind of representative of that in a way. But all in all, I didn't really care for the evil team. I thought they were kind of meh. The story, I actually kind of liked. The characters, I actually really liked the characters in this game. I really did. I thought everybody was really, 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 really cool. And I like them. As far as the gym leaders, I thought the gym leaders were really cool. I actually really liked most of them. And I liked the league, too. That's the other thing I wanted to talk about, was the league. The way that you battle the Pokemon gym leaders, and then, you know, you enter, like, the tournament, and then you battle some of them again, and you know, you have to, like, battle people, and you make your way to the top. It actually feels like a league format, and I really like it. I think that was very clever, and I want that. I want Game Freak to continue to do gym leaders this way. I think it's very clever. I think it's very cool. I think it makes sense that, you know, after you beat the gym leaders, everyone else is beating the gym leaders too, right? I mean, everybody else, there's other trainers that are trying to beat the champion. Why don't you ever battle them? Why don't you ever battle other trainers? I think that's something that Game Freak should implement more, because you're not the only trainer. I mean, obviously you have your rival that you end up battling, but yeah, I think battling, like, other trainers in that league tournament style, I think that would be really, really cool. And I did like the kind of the arena. I know we've seen this so many times in the trailers, but the arena is really, really cool. And I think that's a very cool setting to have a gym fight. It makes sense. You're in an arena. This is a big scene. This is, you know, a battle that a lot of people are watching, and you can see people in the audience. I really like that. All in all, I really like the way that they did gym leaders in this game. I thought it was really, really cool. And it's something I want them to continue. I didn't really care for the way that they handled it in Sword and Shield, but I really do like it in Pokemon Sword and... I didn't like the way they did it in Sun and Moon. I do like the way they did it in Sword and Shield. And some of the obstacles that you would have to do before the gym fight were pretty fun as well. I liked most of them. Some of them were kind of meh. Like, some of them were... It feels like a last-minute Game Freak was like, okay, we need a test before they can battle the gym leader. What are we going to do? And they just kind of came up with something that was generic. I have nothing off the top of my head. I forget what gym it was. But there were a couple that were just like, this is weird, but it's kind of easy, and it doesn't make sense. And there were a couple where I really didn't care for the challenges before the gym fight, but most of them were fine. Most of them were cool, and I did like the gym fights themselves. Let's talk about some other things real quickly. Pokemon designs. I love all of the Pokemon in this game. I really do. I think these are some of my favorite Pokemon designs yet. I really did like a couple from Sun and Moon. I liked a lot from X and Y. But Sword and Shield, I love, especially the Galar forms. I love the Galar forms. I love Galar Meowth. I love Galar Weezing. I love Galar Ponyta. I like a lot of the Galar forms. I think they're super, super cool. And they feel like, I don't know, like looking at some of the Alolan forms, like, I don't know. I feel like the Galar Pokemon, like the Galar forms match their Pokemon a lot more. And they match the actual environment that they come from. I think they look so much better. But just some of the new Pokemon. I really like all the starters. Grookey is my favorite, of course. I think these starters had the most, like, personality out of any starters. Especially in the trailers and the announcements, like... I feel like they all have their own personality, and it shows through the trailers. And even, like, the opening cutscene where you go to pick your starter, I think it's very, very cool. I love the Rookie D line. Corviknight's really, really cool. I like Scrovet, the Squirrel Pokemon. The Wooloo is top tier. Wooloo is fantastic. I love Wooloo. I'm looking through the Pokedex right now. I'm just going through a lot of them. Yamper and Boltund are amazing. And when I actually got Yamper, actually for most of the Pokemon, I've said this before, I tried not to look at any leaks or officially released Pokemon. So a lot of the Pokemon that I've seen through my journey, I've never seen before. Like a lot of the evolutions, I've never seen before. So when like Yamper evolved into Boltund, I was not expecting that. I was not expecting Applin when I saw that Pokemon. I don't know if that was announced or not, but I was not expecting an Apple Pokemon. I thought that Pokemon was super cool. Let's see what else. I'm going through the Pokedex. A lot of these Pokemon I've already seen. These are all like fourth. Why are all the fifth gen Pokemon right here? All of the fifth gen Pokemon. Okay, now we're doing first gen. Let's do it this way. Quirkle. I really like the Quirkle line, or not the Quirkle. Rolycoly evolves into Quirkle. And Colossal is really, really cool. I really like him. Yeah, Alolan Meowth and Berserker. So cool. So cool. I really like these Pokemon. I really like Alolan Meowth. I really like Alolan Meowth. As well as, what's the other one? Farfetch'd. So you get Sir Farfetch'd. But I don't think they ever announced that Farfetch'd actually has a Galar form. And it looks so nice. It looks so cool. It looks so cool. It's so much better than Farfetch'd in the other games. Like, it's the stick that's holding on the branch looks so much bigger. His fur is darker. I love his stance. He's like mean mugging you. He's mean mugging you. It's so cool. It's such a cool Pokemon. And then Sir Farfetch'd, of course, is awesome. I really like that Pokemon. It's such a cool design. And then Galar Stunfisk is pretty cool. I was not expecting that at all. The Impidimp line, I think, is just so odd. It's just so odd, but it's so cool. But yeah, a lot of these Pokemon I just love. I think they're so unique. I think they're really cool. And I love them. I actually love a lot of these designs. And Sun and Moon had some really cool Pokemon. I thought most of like the Tapu Pokemon were cool. The starters were cool. I liked Delmize is probably my favorite out of Sun and Moon. I really like Delmize and Salazzle. Is that how you pronounce it? I really liked him. But yeah, like some of these Pokemon are just, I really do like them. And Every time I'd encounter a new Pokemon from the generation or from the region, I'd really contemplate which Pokemon I should remove from my team, and I did swap around my team quite a bit during these games. I don't think I've ever done that before in a Pokemon game. I pretty much, like, once I have six Pokemon, that's it. I rock out with those six Pokemon. But playing through Sword, I actually swapped out some Pokemon because I thought that there were some Pokemon that I encountered later on that were just so cool. I really needed them on my team. And, yeah, I really like the designs. Same thing with the raid Pokemon. We'll talk about those. Pokemon raids, I think that is the best thing that has ever been implemented into a Pokemon game. Hands down. Hands down. The raid battles are so cool. This definitely takes an inspiration from Pokemon Go. I do play Pokemon Go quite a bit. And one thing in Pokemon Go is, of course, the raid battles. You can go to a gym, and if there's a raid going on, you can team up with other players to take down a pretty big Pokemon. And then you get a chance to capture it at the end. And it's very similar in these games. You team up with three other people to take on a very big Pokemon. And at the end, if you defeat it, you have a chance to catch it. Now, in these games, you, as far as I'm aware, you only have one chance to catch it, and it is not a guaranteed catch. It's not a 100% chance to catch it. I've had quite a few Pokemon actually escape from me, which kind of sucks, since I needed them for my decks, or I wanted them to check for abilities or IVs. But yeah, most of the time I do catch them. With like a Pokemon, with a Pokeball or a Premier Ball, but there are definitely some that break free and escape, and you can never catch them. But the whole, the whole raid battle things is so much fun. It really is. I really like it, and you can do this by going into the wild area. And if there's a beam of light shining out of a den, that means that there's a Pokemon that you can battle in a raid. It'll give you a black silhouette of that Pokemon. And you can do this with other players. So you can invite other players online to do this. Or you can just battle by yourself. And I really like it. I think it's such a fun... I think it's such a fun idea, and it's one thing that a lot of the Pokemon community is really enjoying as well. It'll get players to play together. It'll be a very fine way for people to complete their Pokédex or get Pokemon that have pretty good stats, or even if you don't catch the Pokemon, you usually get quite a ton of, like, items from battling the raids, like experience candies, berries, just a ton of different items. So I really like it. I think it's very fun. I think it's one of the best things that Game Freak has implemented into these games. And the thing is, too, I think this can be a way to, while we talked earlier about Pokemon being like an annual game, I do think this can be a way for Game Freak to kind of follow the way of other online games that just update their game over time. This can be a great way for Game Freak to update the raids and add new Pokemon into the raids. And I don't know, maybe for like a couple hours on this day, this Pokemon will appear in all raids, and it'll be a super strong Pokemon that'll give you, you know, that you're guaranteed a couple IVs or you're guaranteed these items. Kind of like how Pokemon Go does. I mean, I actually just got a notification on my phone for Terrakion raids, for 5-star Terrakion raids. And it'll give you the date, it gives you the time, and I think that's something that Game Freak should do. I think they should implement that into Pokemon Sword and Shield. Play around with the raids a little bit. Get more players to come back to the game after a while, after they've beat it and done a lot of raids. Give them a reason to come back to the game. Battle raids, get some exclusive Pokemon. This could be a great way to introduce Pokemon into the game. If they decide, I don't know if this is something that they'll want to do, but if they decide to add Pokemon like Blastoise to the game, for example, put them in raids, just like Pokemon Go does. Put them in raids, set a duration of time on a weekend or something and let players come and capture Blastoise, I think that would be great. I think that would be a great way to get players back into the game. I think that would get more of a, attack rate to the game. I think that would be a great way to introduce older Pokemon back into the series. I think that would be super fun. And I think that's where Game Freak should go with the games. I really do. I think they should implement... I think they should put more effort into the raid battles like that. Because it is fun. It's a lot of fun to do. And I think it would be a great way to get the community together and get more players playing the game. I think that would be really cool. Something else that I wanted to talk about was Dynamax. So Z-moves and Mega Evolutions are not in this game. However, you can Dynamax Pokemon. And for most Pokemon, this essentially means that you make them really, 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 really big. They get some stronger moves, some better stats. But for some Pokemon, they actually do get like a whole new design, much like Mega Evolution. And I really, really like Dynamaxing. I thought it was so fun to do throughout the game. You could only do it in specific battles. So for like gym fights, fighting the champions, stuff like that. But I think it's a lot of fun to do. And it is very different than how Z-moves work. It's very different, very, very different than Mega Evolution. You'll Dynamax. I believe your Dynamax Pokemon lasts for 3 turns. And you can only Dynamax one Pokemon. And essentially their moves will turn into max moves. So I believe each type has a max move. So that move will increase in... base power, and it's a little weird. I don't understand it all the way yet, but like Max Darkness, for example, is the max type for Dark type. Max Airstream is the max type for Flying type. Max Ooze for Poison. Max is it Geyser for Water, and these all have base power. They're much stronger than the moves that they're based off. So it's a big, big difference compared to like Mega Evolution or Z moves. But I personally like it. I think it's pretty cool. I'm still trying to figure out how to do... because some of the Pokemon I have Dynamax levels. Some don't. I'm still trying to figure out how that works. But it's a pretty... it's weird because it's kind of confusing. Because in X and Y, Mega Evolution like was the story. Mega Evolution was the story. So you would constantly get updates on how Mega Evolution works, why it matters, what it does. But this game doesn't do a great job of explaining Dynamax. At least not a lot. I think there are characters that explore it and are supposed to like learn how Dynamax works. But I don't think you ever really get... you never really get an explanation of it. And I think that's my biggest gripe with it, is that 2 weeks in, almost 70 plus hours, Dynamax is cool, but it's one of those things that I think should have been explained a little bit more in the actual game. That's my take on it. I do like it. I think it's really cool, but I think it should have been explained a lot more in the game, especially for it being like the big new feature of Pokemon. I think that it should have been explained a little bit more, like Mega Evolution in X and Y, and like Z moves in Sun and Moon. All in all, I'm trying to think of anything else that I want to add, but I think for the most part, I think that's pretty much it. There are some other things you can do, like Pokemon Camp. I did forget about that. You can camp with your Pokemon and play with them. I think that's kind of cool. It doesn't replace like Pokemon and Me or some of the other ways that you are able to play with Pokemon in past games, but it is pretty similar in the way that they work. And you can also cook a curry. That's a big thing. I've not cooked a lot of curry. I'm just going to be honest. I really have not cooked a lot of curry in this game, but you can cook curry if you would like. Character customization is really awesome, I think this game has the best character customization. You can customize your hair, you can customize your clothing, which I actually did quite a lot throughout the game. I did not buy a lot of, like items or anything like that throughout the game. I bought a lot of clothing, and I really, really like some of the clothing options. I think this game implemented the best clothing out of any Pokemon game yet. So I really like the character customization. I thought it was really, really well done. I'm trying to think if there's anything else. I think I talked about most of, like, the important parts of the game, everything that I really wanted to address. All in all, I really liked the game. I really liked the game. And I think these games were met with a lot of criticism right out of the gate, because people's expectations were for a game that Game Freak had no intention on making. You know, a lot of people imagined a Breath of the Wild-like Pokemon experience. And simply put, Game Freak had no interest in making a Breath of the Wild-like Pokemon experience, you know? And I think, like I said, if you've played any previous Pokemon game before, these are not they're not that different from anything. In a good way, I mean. In a good way, they're not that different. They're not terrible. Are there differences between them that, you know, make them feel sluggish or different? Or, yeah, you know, there are some things that, sure, are pretty big differences. But for the most part, there's a lot here that I've been wanting from Pokemon for a long time. The quality of life stuff, like I said. Being able to view my Pokemon PC box from anywhere is a godsend. It is the best thing ever, and it's something I've wanted forever. Being able to easily check IVs from anywhere, super easy. Checking your Pokemon stats, very simple. All in all, it's just things like that I think make the gameplay much more convenient and makes it easier to go about doing things. It's great. It really is great. And it sucks that there was so much criticism prior to these games' release, because I think these are, I don't know if they're the best Pokemon games. But they are very, very fun. I'll say that much. They are very, 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 very fun. And there's a lot here to be enjoyed. There's a lot here to enjoy. The Wacom. Let me talk about that for a second. I completely forgot about that. So the Wacom is essentially how you connect to the internet, surprise trade, and do all of that. I think since X and Y, Pokemon has been going downhill when it comes to how they handle how you handle connecting to the internet and doing battles and all that stuff. I forgot what it was. What was it called on X and Y? I absolutely forgot what it was called on X and Y. The bottom screen, the way that you connected to internet on X and Y. What was that called? I completely forgot. But the X and Y and Oras had hands down the best online interface, period. It was so simple. You use the bottom screen, you click the little internet to connect to the internet. You could see all of your friends right there. You could easily challenge them to a battle, select them to do a trade, whatever. I thought it was hands down the best way to use online internet connection in a Pokemon game. Easily. Sun and Moon, I did not like the plaza. The Festival Plus, I'm pretty sure that's what it was called, was terrible. It was so clunky, and you went out of your way to, I don't know, it was so weird the way that it worked, and I really did not like it at all. Let's Go had, literally, I don't think they had any sort of online, I think you could, like, do trades with people. I think that's about it. I think you could battle, too. I did not do any trading or battling with or in Let's Go, because it was just terrible the way that it worked. The Wacom is not bad. It's an improvement, but it definitely is not like X and Y's internet. I'm trying to find what it was. I'm trying to see what it was. But I'm trying to see if I have it somewhere. I thought I saw. I don't know. Maybe I don't. I thought I knew what it was. I don't see it anywhere. I forgot what it was called. What was the online called? What was it called? You guys know what I'm talking about. The service for X and Y. I forgot what it was called. I have absolutely no idea what it was called. But either way, the Wacom is not terrible. But it's okay. I mean, you press Y, hence why it's called the Wacom. You press Y, and you're greeted by a list of stuff like trading, surprise trade, swap cards, link battle profile, all that stuff. And I do like the way surprise trade is implemented. Surprise trade is essentially Wonder Trade. I don't know why they renamed it, but it's essentially Wonder Trade. You click on the Pokemon you want. It's a little different in the way that works now. So you save your game, and then you send out a broadcast, and you can continue to play the game while you're doing a surprise trade now. So before, you would basically be on a little screen, and you'd wait for your Pokemon to just shoot out to somebody else. Now, you can continue to play your game. So, like, I've been doing a lot of Pokemon breeding, looking for IVs and shiny Pokemon and stuff like that. I've been doing a lot of breeding, and I can actually surprise trade while I'm doing breeding. And it's, I do like that. I think that's actually really, really cool. I did not like it at first. I thought that it was odd. But now I really do like it. And I think it's a much better way to implement something like that in a Pokemon game. So I'm a big fan of how surprise trade works in the game. As far as battling and trading, I'm pretty sure you get like a little 3 Pokemon code, much like in Let's Go, that you then need to send out to somebody else, and you guys link up your code. I think that's kind of a dumb way to do it. I don't think you can actually send a battle or a trade request to friends. I don't think. Again, I haven't done much in the way of trading other than surprise trades or battling yet. But I'm pretty sure that's how it works. This is also a way that you can hook up with people to do raids, so you can actually view other people that are broadcasting for a raid battle and then join in on them. I've had a lot of communication errors doing it that way. I've tried opening up the Wacom. First off, one thing you have to do is load stamps, so you load the different broadcasts that people are doing. Why it doesn't just update automatically, I don't know. But you load new stamps, you can see what people are doing, and I've tried connecting to a raid for the longest times, and I'd always get like a communication error, whether the person closed down the room, maybe I was too late, they already found players, I don't know. But if that's the case, then that broadcast or that stamp shouldn't not be there anymore. I shouldn't be able to see it if that's the case. I've had that issue happen. All in all, though, I think it is much better than the Festival Plaza. Much better than Festival Plaza. It's not perfect. It's not like it used to be. I think it keeps getting dumber and dumber the way that you connect to the internet and connect with people. But I think it's fine, I guess, compared to it could be worse. I know it could be so much worse. But surprise trading is actually pretty cool. The other thing you can do is trade your... I'm actually doing this for the first time right now. I want to see how this works. You can actually trade lead cards like surprise trades. So you can send out your trade card to somebody and then retrieve theirs via the Wacom. So I don't know what you actually get. Um... what you actually get for like collecting all these league cards, but you can collect them all. I think it's kind of cool in a way, I suppose. But yeah, if you want to collect league cards, you can do that through surprise trading as well. But other than that, the YCOM is pretty meh. It's not the greatest. It is what it is. The other thing I was going to mention is in the menu, if you actually go to Versus, one cool thing that is in this game is you can actually see who, out of people who are playing Shield or Sword, who hatched the most eggs, who caught the most Pokemon, evolved the most Pokemon. And I don't know if this is like, I would assume this is a real-time thing, but you can actually see who's actually, doing more in each game. So it's actually kind of cool the way that it works. So either way, all in all, I'm trying to think of if there's anything else. I think that's pretty much everything that I've wanted to say about the games. I really like them. I think these are, I don't know if they're the best Pokemon games, but I think they are far, far better than Sun and Moon, Ultra Sun and Moon, and Let's Go Pikachu and Eevee. And like I said, it feels like X and Y all over again. It feels like a new Pokemon game. It feels so good to play, and I really, really enjoyed the games. I really, really enjoyed the games, and I'm going to have a great time breeding Pokemon, battling, shiny hunting. I've been doing a lot of surprise trades. I think the games are fun. I think they're very, very fun, and that's pretty much it. Of course, there will be an episode next week as well, hopefully, if I'm able to. And if there's anything I need to add, I'm sure I'll still be talking about Pokemon for the rest of this year. Since the games are new, I've been waiting a while for these main series games in particular. So if there's anything I need to add, I'll be sure to do that next week if possible. But other than that, I think that's pretty much everything I have to say. I really like the games. I think they're fun. I think they get too much hate for what they are. And I think that's pretty much it. So that brings us to the end of this week's episode of the Joy-Con Cast. As always, thank you for listening. I appreciate the support. I've been really enjoying the Pokemon games. I'm going to go back to playing them now. So I hope you, if you guys are playing Pokemon as well, I hope you're having a blast. I really do. I hope you're having a blast with the games. Either way, with that said, that brings us to the end. As always, take care. Have yourselves a great day. And I'll see you in the next one.